Father, you have ordained a perpetual law, an eternal law, that is of your Spirit, that is made alive in us by the Lord Jesus Christ. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. We need to understand, O God, the law of covenant that you have opened to us in the fullness of Christ Jesus. The law of covenant that you make alive from our hearts by the Holy Spirit. The law of covenant that is a pure expression of your will, Father. Teach us, O God, to understand. Teach us to receive the Spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ, so that our understanding will grow from measure to measure in the perfection of the Lord Jesus Christ, that we will be perfected and completed in Christ Jesus by the Holy Spirit, so that your will be perfectly made manifest in us supernaturally, Father, that we will leave our fleshly abilities, Father, and live only by you, O God. Teach us that reality. Teach us, O God, that truth, O God, that is an expression of your name, your testament within us, O God. Teach us to understand, O God, that you mean to enable us to live entirely by you and through you, so that our life will be a living expression of your name, so that we will be a blessing to the nations, O God, because you have chosen us to be a holy priesthood of kings and priests, Father, who stand and function entirely by your name, Father. That is our destiny, O Lord. And that destiny must become, O God, a reality within us, Father. That we will leave, O God, our filthy righteousnesses, O Lord, and come forth alive by the righteousness of our God. That we will become the righteousness of our God in Christ Jesus. Teach us to understand your word. Teach us to understand, Father, that we are your creation in Christ Jesus. We are your workmanship in Christ Jesus. And that workmanship is an expression of your righteousness, not our righteousness, Father. You are righteous, and we are called forth to become your righteousness in Christ Jesus. Teach us to understand and hear the voice of your word, brought alive in us by the Holy Spirit, and enabled in us, Father, by the Lord Jesus Christ. Teach us to understand that, O Lord. Teach us to understand that understanding is knowing the Holy One. Everything that we need has been given to us in Christ Jesus. We only have to receive, and we only have, O God, to act by your Spirit in Jesus' name. Let that reality come forth in us, Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Romans 8:2, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Something very important that we need to get very clear in our hearts, because we must learn how to come alive in Christ Jesus, and we must learn to understand that in Christ Jesus we must learn how to live by the Spirit of God. Romans 8:2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set you free from the law of sin and death. This is God's ordained reality for us, that we should discover life by the Spirit in Christ Jesus. Something very important for us to understand. Turn with me, please, to John 16. Jesus tells his disciples something very important, and we must take it to heart, and we must listen to the voice of our Lord telling something that is very essential for us. Verse 7. But I tell you the truth, it is to your advantage that I go away. For if I do not go away, the Helper shall not come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. And he, when he comes, will convict the world concerning sin and righteousness and judgment. Concerning sin, because they do not believe in me. And concerning righteousness, because I go to the Father and you no longer behold me. And concerning judgment, because the ruler of this world has been judged. Something very important the Lord Jesus is saying. He's telling his disciples that he must leave them. There needs to be a new reality of Him that comes alive to them by the Holy Spirit. Up to this time, before He is going to the cross, they have lived their life by depending on Him. He was an external reality to them. They saw Him, they touched Him, they loved Him, they ate with Him. Whenever they had a problem, He was there to address that problem. If they needed a healing, He was there to address that problem. When there was a storm, He was there to calm the seas. He was there to raise the dead. He was there to do all things that they needed. But He was an external reality to them. They saw Him and they touched Him, and all they could relate to Him was all external. He was a Lord that was alive to them, but outside of them. He was framed in a physical body, and He was the Lord whom they related to. Their idea of everything was based on Jesus, who was physically made manifest to them. And Jesus wanted them to understand that such a reality was a very limited reality. That they had to understand that something greater had to come forth. And He had to go away. And He had to go away so that they could no longer behold Him physically. That they would learn how to behold Him from within themselves. Jesus wanted them to realize an intimacy that was far greater than simply hugging Him or eating with Him or fellowshipping with Him. He wanted them to enter into an intimacy that would be alive from their very state of being. And so He says, I will send the Holy Spirit, and He will be another helper to you. Something very, very radically different would come alive to you. So when Jesus went to the cross, His disciples basically ran away. It was not that they didn't love Him. They loved Him as much as man could love man. They loved Him as much as a friend could love a friend. But that love was not strong enough. When their hope in Him, when their expectations of what He would bring forth failed them, or did not measure up to what they thought was right, or what they thought would be coming forth, everything that they had of Him just disappeared. And so they ran away. They ran away, and He was left alone. He was left alone in the physical sense, but He was alive to God always. And Jesus went to the cross to establish the reality that we would all live through God. And if you look at how He died on the cross, you will find that He was always alive to God. And when the Holy Spirit left Him, He cried out. He cried out with a pain that you do not see recorded when they hammered nails into His body. The reality of God was so strong within Him that when they hammered nails in Him, He was able to take that physical abuse. But when the Holy Spirit left Him, He cried out. In that reality, Jesus opens to us an intimacy with God that is the fulfillment of God's law. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus Christ opened that reality on the cross. And that was the reality that was going to bring forth our salvation. But He had to do it in the conviction of His heart before God. He had to be the Lamb of God, the Lamb that would establish the reality of being able to love God even through the cross. And so at the end, when He gives up His spirit, He says, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, or I commend my spirit. Jesus was commending His spirit, committing His spirit into the Father's hands for judgment. He was going to be judged by the law of God. And the law of God said that you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, and with all your strength. Jesus fulfilled that law. And because He fulfilled that law, you and I will live forever. But we will live forever because the Spirit of Christ, that Spirit that Jesus yielded to the Father, was judged to be found to be holy. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Romans chapter 1, verse 3 and verse 4. Concerning his son, who was born of a descendant of David, according to the flesh, who was declared the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. You see, something had to be done. God was manifesting a prophetic reality. A prophetic reality that defined the sons of God. And he says, the Son of God was declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead, according to the Spirit of holiness, Jesus Christ our Lord. His Spirit was found to be the Spirit of holiness. He was a reflection of the Lord his God in his nature. And he manifested that Spirit through the cross. He committed that Spirit into his Father's hands, and he justified us by his righteousness in holiness unto God. Can you catch it? That Spirit is what changes us. That Spirit is what clothes us in our salvation. That Spirit is the Spirit of Christ. When you say Christ, it means the anointed one. What anointing? The anointing of the Spirit of Christ. This is not the Holy Spirit. This is the Spirit of Christ that was found to be holy before God. Holy through the situations and circumstances of the cross, where he was afflicted and abused on our behalf. So how are we saved? We are saved through Christ Jesus our Lord. We are saved by the name of our God made alive to us in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? The reality of loving God with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength is a reality that Jesus Christ fulfilled for us. Something very important for you to understand. Because everything that you need in your Christian life only exists in Jesus Christ. It does not exist in what you are able to do of yourself. It exists in what he accomplished for you. You have to receive what he has accomplished. That is what is called the testimony of Jesus. That is what is called the testimony of Jesus. And if you are not receiving the testimony of Jesus into you, you are not drawing upon the salvation that God has opened to you in Christ Jesus. Can you understand that? Because you cannot be justified before God because you think you can obey God, for instance, or you think you can love God. Your righteousness and my righteousness, the Bible very clearly says, is filthiness. Why? Because God is talking about a standard entirely unattainable by man. So Jesus came and he attained it for us. We have to receive what he attained for us. And unless you can understand that and keep pursuing that, you will walk in your own righteousness and it will be filthy rags. Something very important for us to understand. The law of the Spirit of life. We live by the Holy Spirit, but we can only live by the Holy Spirit in Christ Jesus. The Holy Spirit is with us to make Jesus Christ alive to us. If he does not do that, you and I cannot live. If he does not do that, reveal Jesus to us continually through everything that we understand and know and realize, you and I can never change. All right? So if you think that you are changing because you are praying 5 hours a day, it's a wrong understanding of what prayer is. If you think that you are changing because you are able to read the Word of God for 5 hours a day, you've got a wrong understanding of what it means to change. You change because of Jesus coming alive in you. You read the Word of God to receive Jesus. You pray to receive Jesus. You pray to express Jesus. Are you with me? When God raises us up in ministry, the principal purpose of the only purpose for ministry is to receive Jesus and to give Jesus. If you do not receive Jesus and give Jesus, you're not doing ministry. Because people cannot be saved by you and me. People cannot be saved by what you and I think we understand. People can only be saved by Jesus coming alive to them. by Jesus being given to them, by Jesus coming alive to them and Jesus coming alive in them and giving them the strength to change. Because there is no other way in which man can be saved. Let's start by looking at Psalm. Before we go to Psalm 54, let's turn back to John 16. Now, this is the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. That means everything that is of the Spirit must be entirely, perfectly, and purely defined in Christ Jesus. If it is not, it is not the truth. That's why Jesus said, I am the truth. Are you with me? I am the truth. And you and I must very clearly understand that. Truth is not a principle. Truth is a person. The person of God is truth. The person of God is love. If you don't see God and relate to Him, you will not know what real love is, because real love only exists in God. The love that we have for each other is a corrupt love. That's why God says you are to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Why? Because that's the only way you can come to love your neighbor as yourself. Because to love someone as yourself is a character, and is the character and nature of God, not of man. All right, let's carry on. John 16, verse 13, Jesus says, and when He, the Spirit of truth, comes, He will guide you into all the truth. Who is the truth? Jesus is the truth. Jesus is also saying that all the truth will be explained through Him. Okay. For He will not speak on His own initiative, but whatever He hears, He will speak. What does He hear? Your response to Jesus' name. Whenever you speak, whether you are speaking in a secular sense, or you are speaking to your neighbor across the fence, whether you are speaking the gospel, or whether you are speaking just ordinary words, in everything that you speak, you are either responding to Jesus Christ, or you are denying Him. How you speak, what you speak, is either an expression of Jesus alive in you, or it is a denial of Jesus in your life. So when you get angry and you lose your temper and you curse someone, that is an absolute denial of Jesus Christ. You have just forgotten the love that has saved you, and you have got angry with someone and you cursed him. Are you with me? It can come through very ordinary things. All right? So you find the denial of Peter of Jesus was an external reality. He only understood Jesus externally. And when he denied Jesus, he denied him externally. His friend just disappeared. I mean, everything that he had built on this friend who was outside of him had just gone, vaporized. And Peter just lost everything, right? And so he denied him. It was not that Peter was a lousy fellow. He loved Jesus. As far as a man could love Jesus, Peter probably loved him, right? So, what do we see? The denial of Jesus Christ is spiritualized inside of us all of the time. In the same way, you have all of the time an opportunity to express Jesus continually in some measure of His fullness. How you respond to others, how you respond to God, right? How you speak to your wife, how you speak to your kids, how you speak to your maid, how do you speak to your colleagues? Everything is an expression of the Jesus whom you know, or the Jesus whom you have chosen to deny at that point in time. Can you catch that? So what does the Holy Spirit hear? He hears your response to Jesus all of the time. All of the time. Whether you are in your conscious or your subconscious state. That's why when you study the Jewish feasts, you will find the sacrifices, you will find there was something called the sin offering, which was for unintentional sin. What is unintentional sin? The sin that comes out of human nature. That's you are like that. You sin like that all the time because you are like that. And until God changes you, you will do that, right? So you can pick a guy off the street, right? You need to understand that he will sin according to his nature. It is normal. And until Jesus comes inside of him, he will keep on doing it. And it's pointless sitting down and beating the poor guy and telling him, here, 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 and pray, 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 when the guy does not have the strength of Jesus inside of him. Are you with me? Can you catch it? Because nobody else can change a human being. Only Jesus can. Any other attempt to change is just a pretense for a little while. And when you shake that pretense, it will disappear. Right? And we have probably seen that many times in our own lives, huh? Never mind lives of other people. In our own lives, when we try to do something and say, I'm going to be good today, how many hours do you think that will last? People who pretend that they are good because they have defined goodness according to themselves, so they are good. But if you define goodness according to the Lord your God, you'll find that you're not very good. You understand what I'm saying? All right, very important for us to understand. So what does the Holy Spirit hear? Whatever he hears, he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. What is to come? The Holy Spirit always leads you into God's purposes. What is to come is what God wants to bring forth and fulfill in your life. Not today or tomorrow, but forever. All right? Because God has fearfully and wonderfully made you. But that reality of who you really are is in the heart of the Father. And the Holy Spirit is with you to bring forth that reality that has been fashioned in Christ Jesus and is meant to be brought forth. Are you with me? So Ephesians 2:10 says that you are created in Christ Jesus. All right? So the Holy Spirit is there to bring forth that creation. It is a creation. Creation means you and I have got nothing to do with it. You and I cannot create. It is a creation. It has to come out of the spirit and life of the Lord Jesus Christ. Otherwise, it's going to be filthy rags. Can you catch it? You must understand this, because if you can do something and become good, then Jesus needn't have gone for you on the cross. If you can do so much and you can be good by so much, then why can't you be good by so much? And if you can be good by so much, why can't you be good by so much? And then so much and so much. You see how self-righteousness grows. That's how Lucifer fell. Lucifer fell not by committing adultery. Lucifer fell by thinking that he was good. That he no longer needed God to be good. Right? Lucifer was so impressed with his own goodness. The most refined form of pride is when we think we are something in ourselves. And that was Lucifer's tragedy. He was the Son of the morning. What does son of the morning mean prophetically? Everything that God was going to bring forth into the creation would manifest through this angel. Every new thing that God was going to do, everything that he was going to bring forth was going to come out of this son of the morning. The morning is the beginning of the day. God is light. And everything that God would manifest in the universe would come out of this chosen cherub who was literally the foremost of God's creation. That's why he was called Son of the Morning. Jesus came as the bright morning star. And the bright morning star must grow in your heart. All right? You must leave religion aside. Leave what you can do in yourself and find out what God can bring forth in your life by the Spirit in Jesus' name. Again, you cannot bring forth something in Jesus' name in your own strength. It has to be brought alive by God. That's why the Holy Spirit is in you forever. All right? And that's very important, because he is continually monitoring your response to Jesus Christ. Because your reality and my reality of God is only through Jesus Christ. You have no other reality of God. Any other reality of God is just your imaginations. It is just make-believe. The real reality of God, the reality that is real and tangible, comes to you from Jesus Christ. Because if you cannot see Jesus, if you cannot see the heart of God through Jesus Christ, you cannot see God in anything else. Right? It is just a nice-to-know expression that sounds very great. You know, you see people talk about how great God is. Actually, they don't know how great God is. Right? They just pretend. All right? But when you see Jesus and Jesus comes alive in you, the greatness of God is tangible. It is tangible because that greatness comes alive in a nature. And you know that that change that God has brought inside of you is because of his greatness. That greatness is his love. Because if you don't understand his love, you cannot understand anything else about him. You see, you cannot talk about the power of God without his love, because his power is always manifested in love. His power is also manifested in righteousness. But all of those realities are described to you in Christ Jesus. Are you with me? So the Holy Spirit is always monitoring that response that you have to Jesus. And if you are not responding to Jesus consciously, you are responding to Jesus unconsciously. What does that mean? When you decide to do something on your own merits, you have left Jesus and you're saying, I can do this my way. I can do this my way. Jesus has saved me. Very nice. Now I can live on my own. I can do this on my own. You see how subtly falsehood comes in. You cannot do it on your own because Jesus said, I am the life. I am the way. There is no other way. I am the truth. Very all-encompassing statement. I am the bread of life. That means what? If you're going to live, you have to eat me. If you don't eat me, you're not going to live. Very simple. I am the light. There is no other light. If you don't see me, and if I'm not shining in your heart more and more, you don't see anything. Because nothing else will enable you to see God. Because God is light. But Jesus says, I am the light of the world. What is he saying? I am the expression of the light of God. If you're going to see God and his light, you have to see me. Because if you don't see me, you will never see God. You cannot see God. Are you with me? Okay, so what is the Holy Spirit saying? He is hearing and he will speak and he will disclose to you what is to come. What is to come is what God has for you and your life. And we all need to understand that God has a purpose for your life and my life. It is there now. It will always be there forever. It will never change. Our job is to find out what God wants to do with us. Always, because God's way is the way. All right? God is the truth. Can you catch that? The truth will set you free. Freedom only exists when God is alive to us. Otherwise, it is just an imagined freedom. It is a pretense. Doing what you and I want to do is not freedom. It is foolishness dressed up as a false freedom. Because when we do everything our way, we leave God aside and then we land in a hole that we have dug for ourselves. Okay? All right, so let's look at the next verse. The next verse says that the Holy Spirit is with us to reveal Jesus to. Verse 14, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. What is mine? Everything that Jesus accomplished. The testimony of Jesus. The Holy Spirit will take of the testimony of Jesus and he will disclose it to you. The only way you can move by the Spirit of God is if you are moving in Christ Jesus, if you're expressing Christ Jesus. Any other kind of moving in the Spirit is of your own spirit. And you can easily do that too. Moving by your own spirit is not moving by the Holy Spirit. Once you have trained yourself to pray long enough in tongues, you can pray in tongues without even God the Holy Spirit with you. You speak in tongues to express the reality of the Lord your God. He must lead, and you are always the vessel. And you must train yourself to know the difference when you are ahead of God and doing it in your strength, or if God is bringing it forth. You must know the difference. And you can only know the difference through Christ Jesus. The question you have to ask yourself, is this of Jesus Christ? Is this expressing Jesus Christ? If it is not expressing Jesus Christ, it is not the truth. It is not the truth. Don't kid yourself. Just because you feel an anointing, just because you feel a quickening, those are no guarantees that you are walking by the Holy Spirit. It is whether you are expressing Jesus Christ, and you can see that very clearly. You will always find there is a part of you that expresses Jesus Christ. There's a part of you that expresses you. The key to spiritual growth is to understand which part is you and which part is Jesus. And which part is you, you take to God and you address it with him. Okay? Because that part must go away. Okay? Are you with me? All right? Okay. So he says, he shall glorify me, for he shall take of mine and shall disclose it to you. The whole purpose of revelation is to disclose Jesus Christ to you. Why? Because you are ordained to express the fullness of Jesus Christ. That is your calling. John 1:16 says, of his fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. John 1:17 says, for the law was given by Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. Grace and truth cannot be realized through anything else. Because God will not express himself through to you through anything but his word. His word is a person. Very important that we understand this. Okay? That the expression of our being, our ministries, our life must be the Lord Jesus Christ. If you want to be a blessing as a husband, a wife, a father, then express Jesus Christ to your children, to your spouses. Express Jesus Christ in your church. Express him. And you will find there is change. There will be transformation because Jesus will change all things. What is the secret for a growing church? Jesus said, lift up my name and I will draw all men to me. That's the plan for the church of Jesus Christ. What do we lift up? We lift up programs, we lift up organizations, we lift up theologies, we lift up our learnings. We must learn to lift up Jesus Christ. Okay? It must be, that is how God trains us. All right? And how do you express Jesus Christ? As soon as you open your mouth, you are expressing Jesus Christ. The moment you open your heart and you start thinking, you are expressing Jesus Christ or you are denying him. That's as close as it gets. And God says, this temple of your being is ordained to love the Lord your God with all of your heart, soul, mind and strength. That reality exists only in the heart of Jesus. Do you understand that? A man does not have that reality. And pretending that we have that reality is foolishness because you will never come to that reality. You must receive of the Lord. You need to develop that intimacy with him as a person. That intimacy comes as you learn how to live by him. Okay? It's very simple. Ask and you shall receive. Seek and you shall find. It's nothing complex. You know, you don't have to go up to heaven to figure out which heaven you are standing in. All right? Stand on one finger and pray in tongues for the next 5 years or something like that. Nobody asked you to do all that. All right? You only have to ask. And asking is so simple. Father, help me. Right? When you sin, very simple, just turn to God and say, Lord, I blew it. You got to change me so that I don't keep on doing this thing because I can't change it myself. If you turn around and say, I am going to control that sin, you're answering the wrong way. You're looking the wrong place. You're looking at yourself to overcome that sin. That sin will not go away because you tried hard enough. All you're doing is you're suppressing it. The snake is still there under your feet. The trick is to take out that snake and throw it away. And only the Lord can do that. Do you understand that? You must understand that sin has to be dealt with through God, not through man, not through yourself. Amen? Ask, seek, and find. Ask, seek, and knock. Knock at his heart. All right? And all that is at the speed of thought. You understand? It's at the speed of thought. And the Holy Spirit is there to hear that response all of the time. Are you willing to function in Christ Jesus? It is not hard, okay? Religion is very, very hard because you have to do all that. You have to become like Jesus Christ. Try it and see. 6 months you are goody-goody, you pray every day. Then one day someone comes and gives you one slap and you get angry and everything is gone. Have you ever experienced that? What happened? You were not so holy. You just found that out. All it took was one guy to give you one slap. That's all. Okay? Why did Jesus say if they slap you on the right cheek, give the left cheek? Why? That is an expression of him alive in you. Because the automatic reaction of a man is to turn around and give him another slap. And don't tell me you won't do that. That's your instinct to do that. The instinct not to do that comes from Jesus Christ's nature. It does not come from the nature of man. If you control yourself and say, I will not hit him back, that is not a response. That is just you exerting your own control. Right? Just like those guys who meditate, sitting on nails. Right? What are they doing? They're controlling themselves. It's all a self-control, that's all. And if it is taken to its logical ends, they ultimately connect with some spiritual being that enables them, right? But it's not real, it's not tangible, it is the false. Are you with me? So, know the difference, all right? The law of the Spirit of life must be in Christ Jesus. If it's not in Christ Jesus, if it is not continually being defined and redefined and redefined in Him, if it's not being perfected and completed in Him, you are not growing. You're just pretending to grow. And it's very easy to pretend to grow. Very easy, because we all know how to pretend. It's in our nature to pretend. Every man knows that. He knows that instinctively how to pretend. And our pretending can be so good that we can justify ourselves against anybody. We can even use the Bible to justify ourselves. Are you with me? That is us. That's why Jesus said, you are all evil. Right? Only God is good. Right? Very clear definition. Right? The young man, the rich man came to Jesus and say, what must I do to receive salvation or to enter the kingdom of God? One of those things he said, right? So Jesus said, have you done all the law? So the poor guy said, oh yes, I pray so many times, I have observed the law, I pray only to God. So Jesus said, since you observe all the law, what that means is that you now love your Lord, your God, with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Go and sell everything and come after me. And then he found out that his reality was God, of God, was very, very small. You understand what I'm saying? Why did Jesus tell him to go and sell everything? Was he going to get a kick out of it? No. He just wanted to tell him a very simple thing. The observance of the law means that you love God and only God. Nothing else matters in your life. That's what it really means. Don't kid yourself that you can observe the law. You can't. All right? So the disciples turned around and said, like this means who's going to get into heaven? Right? Right? Like this means, I mean, we might as well stop here and now. Right? Which is perfectly logical. So what did Jesus say? With man it is impossible. What did Jesus say? It's impossible. So why are we keep trying to do it? But with God, all things are possible. That's why he says he creates us. Right? Amen? So, the Holy Spirit is there to take of mine and to disclose it to you. What's the next verse says? All that the Father has is mine. Right? All that the Father has, verse 15, is mine. And I have made it available to you. Where are we looking? We are looking at how big our ministries are, how smart we are, how anointed we are. All wrong focus. How big is our church? How many people come to the church? All wrong measures of Christian growth. Wrong measures. The only measure of growth is how big is Jesus in your life? Is he Lord and Master? That's the only question. The rest of it will happen. As you lift up Jesus, he will draw all men to himself. Amen? Okay, very important that we understand that, okay? Because God told Moses something very important. Let's turn to the book of Exodus, chapter 25. Verse 16. And you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. Very clearly God speaks. I will give you the testimony and you shall put the testimony into the ark. Verse 21. And you shall put the mercy seat on top of the ark, and in the ark you shall put the testimony which I shall give to you. The testimony I shall give to you. All right? Exodus 31, verse 18. So Moses goes up into the mountain, and in verse 18, and when he had finished speaking with him upon Mount Sinai, he gave Moses the two tablets of the testimony, tablets of the stone written by the finger of God. Exodus chapter 32, verse 15 and verse 16. Then Moses turned and went down from the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. Tablets which were written on both sides, they were written on the one side and the other. And the tablets were God's work, and the writing was God's writing engraved on the tablets. The tablets were God's work. That means the substance in which the tablets were made were entirely from God. They had nothing to do with Moses. They had nothing to do with how good Moses was, how holy Moses was, nothing to do with all that. It was something that God made. And everything that was written onto those tablets were the writing of God, not Moses' writing. Moses only received. Okay, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 3. I'm going to read parts of it. You are a letter of Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of human hearts. If you have a King James version of the Bible, you will find that the hearts are of flesh. Whose flesh? The flesh of the Lamb. John 6. Right? Jesus says, unless you eat of my flesh and drink of my blood, you have no life in you. So the work of the tablets of your heart, of flesh, is entirely the work of God. It's got nothing to do with how good you are, how anointed you are. It's got everything to do with what God is bringing forth in your life. You have to receive, and you have to continue to receive and to express it. All right? The writing is God's writing. Made alive in you means, that means you're able to think through it and live through it by that word. It must be entirely the work of God. If it's your work, you are getting in the way. Because your righteousness and my righteousness is filthy rags. Don't ever forget that. You're getting in the way. Every Christian can grow supernaturally in God. You don't have to stand on your head. It's easy to grow in God, brethren. If it's hard, you are trying hard. That's why. That's why God describes his Sabbath as a rest. How hard do you want to work when you're sleeping? When you're resting in God, I mean. Not sleeping. Resting in God. How hard do you want to work? When the priest went into the holy place, he had to wear linen underclothing so that he will not sweat. Because everything in the tent of meeting was the work of God, not the work of man. Okay? We must understand this. What is our calling? Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. Deuteronomy chapter 10, verse 8. At that time, the Lord set apart the tribe of Levi to carry the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, to stand before the Lord, to serve him and to bless in his name until this day. Very easy, very, very, very simple, clear picture. To carry the Ark of the Covenant, to stand before God, to minister to him, and then to go forth and to bless in his name. God's name is I Am Who I Am, to bless in his name. But the priesthood was dedicated to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Today we want to just look at what this Ark of the Covenant is. How has God unveiled the Ark of the Covenant to us? All right? Let's look at a few terms. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 25. In Deuteronomy, the Ark was called the Ark of the Covenant. All right? In Exodus 25... Verse 16, you shall put into the ark the testimony which I shall give you. Verse 22, And there I will meet with you, and from above the mercy seat, from between the two cherubim which are upon the ark of the testimony, I will speak to you. So the ark is also called the ark of the testimony. Okay? Ark of the covenant, ark of the testimony. Same thing. Okay? Okay? Catch it? All right. Next part. Samuel, 2 Samuel chapter 6. 2 Samuel chapter 6. Remember, the Ark of the Covenant is also called the Ark of the Testimony. Okay, same thing. All right. 2 Samuel chapter 6, verse 2. And David arose and went with all the people who were with him to Baal Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God. Now the Ark is also called the Ark of God, which is called by the name, the very name of the Lord of hosts. So the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Covenant, is also called the Ark of the name of God. Okay? Catch it? Okay. Next title for the Ark is found in 2 Chronicles chapter 6. Let's read from verse 40 to 41. Now, O my God, I pray thee, let thine eyes be open and thine ears attentive to the prayer offered in this place. Now therefore arise, O Lord God, to thy resting place, thou and the ark of thy might. So the ark of God, the ark of the covenant, the ark of the testimony, the ark of the name is also called the ark of God's might. God's might is his sovereign power, okay? So this ark is expressed by the name of God. It is expressed and described as a covenant that comes alive in us by testimony. And this ark that is the covenant testimony of God's name is entirely a product of the might of God. Catch it? The law of the Spirit of Christ, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. In Christ Jesus describes the Ark of the Covenant, the Ark of the Testimony, the Ark of the Name, enabled inside of you by the might of the Most High God. When Jesus Christ was raised from the dead, God manifested his might. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1. Let's read from verse 17. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you a spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of him. Why the revelation in the knowledge of him? Because he is the Ark of Covenant by testimony made alive to you. All right? The priesthood was ordained to carry the Ark of the Covenant. Can you catch that? That Ark of the Covenant is the name of Jesus given to you. You and I carry the name of Jesus. Are you with me? Okay? I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened so that you may know what is the hope of his calling. Okay? His calling is meant to bring forth a testimony of God alive in your life. Okay? What are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints? Whose inheritance? Jesus' inheritance in the saints. You are supposed not to come forth as an individual. We are supposed to come forth as a body. A body that is the body of Christ, carrying the ark of his name. Can you catch that? Appointed to go forth into the nations and to bless in the name of the Lord your God, alive in you in the name of Jesus. Okay, verse 19. And what is the surpassing greatness of his power? That power is dunamis, which ties in with resurrection power. Toward us who believe, these are in accordance with the working of the strength of his might. Kratos is the Greek word there, might. So the Ark of the Covenant has been brought alive to us by the might of God. It is a sovereign act of God. You will find that the word Kratos always refers to God. The power, the dunamis power, is resurrection power given to us to function in. But always there is a distinction between Kratos' power, which is Almighty God's power, and the power given to us to function, which is resurrection power. So you'll always find the distinction between the Greek words. Kratos is God's power. Dunamis is the power given to us to function as the body of Christ. Are you with me? Let's carry on. The might, the strength of his might, which he brought about in Christ Jesus, which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand. That means God unveiled this Kratos power in the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Can you catch that? What was God lifting up? A living Ark of the Covenant. A living Ark of the Name. A living Ark of the Testimony. Whose testimony? God's own testimony. How is God giving you that testimony? Through the life, through the words, through the expression, the living expression of the Lord Jesus Christ. Okay? Which he brought about in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, every name that is named, not only in this age but also in the one to come. And he put all things in subjection under his feet, that is Jesus' feet, and gave him as head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Jesus Christ must fill all in all, but his fullness belongs to us. We are his body. And as his body, we are ordained to express his fullness. Catch it? His fullness is what is described the contents of the ark. We will do that some other time. But for the time being, let's just understand this, all right? Okay? Okay, let's look at the four words. Kratos we have just dealt with, okay? The might of God, the ark of his might. That means he raised Jesus Christ from the dead. We're going to look at the three words: testimony, covenant, and name. Okay, let's start with name. John 17 verse 6. John 17 verse 6. I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. All right? I manifested thy name. Jesus is praying. John 17 is the chapter where the high priest prays over the lamb of the sacrifice. And he says, I manifested thy name to the men whom thou gavest me out of the world. Who manifests the name? Jesus manifests the name. Look at verse 26. I have made thy name known to them and will make it known. Why? That the love wherewith thou didst love me may be in them and I in them. Can you catch it? There is your picture of the ark of the name. Can you catch that? And you are called forth to carry his fullness. Can you catch that? One more verse. John 1:16. For of his fullness we have all received, and grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses. Grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And in that realization, God is unfolding the ark of his covenant in a whole body of Christ, okay? All right? The whole body of Christ unveils that ark of the covenant. It is only as a collective body that the fullness of the name of Jesus will come forth. Are you with me? We are all called to function in parts of it according to the calling upon our lives. All right? But the body must be one body. Are you with me? Catch it? So that is the Ark of the Name. Where is the Ark of the Covenant? Luke chapter 22. Verse Verse 20, and in the same way he took the cup after they had eaten, saying, this cup which is poured out for you is the new covenant in my blood. So the blood is an expression that runs in a body. Can you catch that? The human body is alive only because the blood runs in it, right? In the physical sense. The body of Christ is alive only because of the blood of Jesus. We are the body of Christ only because the blood of Jesus runs in us. What does he say here? The entire new covenant is in the blood. Can you catch that? All right. The entire new covenant is in the blood. Okay. Let's turn to the book of Revelation, chapter 19. Verse 10. Verse 9. And he said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true words of God. Listen very carefully, yeah? The marriage supper of the Lamb is an invitation that is given to us. It is an invitation that we are cultivating every time we celebrate Holy Communion. It is a living witness. Okay? It is a living witness that is of the blood, the water, and the spirit. Okay? We have done the teaching on that. All right? It's a growing witness inside of you. All right? What is that witness? We will find out shortly that that witness is the testimony of Jesus. Okay, let's carry on. And I fell at his feet to worship him. That means John was so overcome by this saint who was speaking with him. And he said to me, do not do that. I am a fellow servant of yours and your brethren who hold the testimony of Jesus. Are you with me? Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. All of the prophetic word is in the testimony of Jesus. Can you catch it? All of the prophetic word that is meant to be unveiled in the body of Christ, who will carry him, who fills all in all, he must fill all in all, is the spirit of prophecy. God's will unveiled. Are you with me? That spirit of prophecy is of the spirit of Christ Jesus, his testimony. Jesus said, my words to you are spirit and life, John 6:63. My words to you are spirit and life. Whose spirit and whose life? His spirit and his life, because the words are his words. That spirit is the spirit of prophecy. That means it is there to fulfill all of God's prophetic word, to bring you and me forth as a new creation. The body of the living Christ, the expression of him who is meant to fill all in all. That's why we are called a priesthood of prophets and kings. Right? That's the reality of David, isn't it? David was called. Jesus, the bright morning star, is called the root of David. What does root of David mean? That means the reality of David, the well-beloved. Jesus as our well-beloved must be rooted inside of us. And he's also the offspring of David. The offspring of David is the body of Christ. Are you with me? The flesh of his flesh. Okay? Catch it? Ephesians 5:30. You need a King James version here, otherwise you will not see this. Ephesians 5:30. Because we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. If you have a King James Version or a New King James Version, you will see that very clearly. Of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. Bones give structure to the body. Those bones are the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ for us. That's why when he was on the cross, no bone in his body could be broken. Okay, if you have a King James Version, it reads, of his flesh and of his bones. Very important that we understand that, all right? His flesh. That's why the Ark of the Tablets was all the work of God. Are you with me? Not of us. Very important that we understand this, because we have got, all of us have got in our subconscious very religious ideas of Christianity based on us reaching God. It's there. It comes out. It comes out in our thinking. It comes out in the way we act. It comes out in the way we practice our Christianity. All right? The right way to realize your Christianity is to realize Christ Jesus and to express Him. Anything else is a waste of time. It's a waste of time because it is not God's way. The testimony is His testimony. All right? God said very clearly to Moses, the testimony is I will give you that testimony, not you go and create it and fashion it. All right? What does Jesus say? The entire covenant is in my blood. That means you can't cook it up. All right? All right? It is in my blood. You either receive it from me or it does not exist. You cannot religiously cook it up. You can't theologically cook it up. It either comes to you in Jesus' name or it does not exist for you. All right? So the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus, describes the Ark of the Covenant that God has called forth into your life and my life as one body, not as individuals. That's the other thing that we have not learned. We all think we are wonderful in ourselves. We are one body. Right? One body. And we must develop this body consciousness. There is no place for individuals. All right? Prima donnas don't exist in the body of Christ. We do not understand the body of Christ if we think we are going to do everything for God. No, it is His workmanship. You have just been given the privilege, you and I have been given the privilege of functioning in the greatness of God. That's all. And we can enjoy it, all right? Don't forget to enjoy it. Because it's beautiful to give expression to the excellence of God. Right? That's why the joy of the Lord is my strength. Amen? Praise the Lord. Okay? So we all indeed very, very special. God is talking about things that we don't deserve. Nobody can stand up and say, I deserve all of this. Right? Nobody. Doesn't matter how anointed you think you are. Whether you are Moses, Elijah, Paul and Peter and John all rolled up into one, you still don't deserve this. Amen? It's all by grace. Amen? In Christ Jesus, you find the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. What is the fulfillment of the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind and strength as your, and your neighbor as yourself. The neighbor as yourself is what expresses the body of Christ. That's the fulfillment of the law, okay? The prophets is that you have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Ephesians 1 verses 3 to 6. Let's go and read that. That's the fulfillment of the prophets. Right? Verse 3 to 6. Ephesians chapter 1. Verses 3 to 6. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ. Don't forget those two words. They are the difference between life and death. In Christ, just as He chose us in Him. Don't forget the in Him. You cannot be chosen outside of Him. All right? In Him, before the foundation of the world. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You cannot pay the price. Very important understanding. You cannot pay the price. Don't ever pretend to be paying the price. Because all this was ordained in the foundation of the world before you even came forth. Amen? Don't come forth and then say, I have earned it, all right? Okay, praise the Lord. That we should be holy and blameless before Him. Another thing to understand, salvation is entirely the work of God. Holiness is an attribute of God. To be blameless is an attribute of God. Again, we have to receive. If we don't receive, we are not going to have it. It has to be given, 100% given. Because if 1% gets into the way, it will start corrupting all. That's why Jesus said, a little leaven leavens the whole dough, right? What is leaven? Malice and wickedness. the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. God wants you and me to be sincere and truthful in Jesus Christ before God. When you express Jesus in your heart, you will always be sincere and truthful. If you start practicing Christianity through principles, it's only a question of time before you start manipulating all those principles. It is in your nature to do so. It is in my nature to do so. That's why God gave us Jesus Christ. You cannot manipulate Jesus Christ. No matter how hard you try, unless you commit blasphemy, you cannot make Jesus Christ bow at your feet. You cannot make Jesus Christ bow at your feet. You can change all the principles and make them serve you. Yes, very easy to do that. But to actually make Jesus Christ bow at your feet, you must blaspheme God. That's why Jesus said, I am the way. Because if you stick to that way, you cannot go wrong, because you will not manipulate me. But if you stick to anything else, you will manipulate it, because it is your nature to do so. We even manipulate our own children. If we can manipulate our own children, what justice are we talking about? Righteousness and everything else. It doesn't exist here. In the human race, it does not exist. Only God is righteous. That's why His name is Yahweh Tsidkenu. Amen. Okay? He predestined us to adoption as sons. You cannot be adopted on your own merits. Right? As adoption as sons through Jesus Christ to Himself. Again, the through Jesus Christ, please don't forget it. Jesus is a name of intimacy. He's the guy who died for you personally on the cross. The Christ is the one who enables you to be saved. His anointing, that spirit of holiness, is what changes you and me. All right? Okay? According to the kind intention of His will. The next thing we must understand is God's perfect will is kind. It is not wicked. It does not bash you on the head. That is not God's will. Kind intention of His will. Even though the expression of His will can be painful, it is still kind. Amen? Okay. To the praise of the glory of His grace, which He freely bestowed on us in the Beloved. Now that is the fulfillment of the prophets, the Beloved. David in us. Alright? We come forth rooted in David and expressed as the offspring of David. And that inward reality is called the morning star. So when God took Father Abraham out, He said, your descendants will be like the stars. You know why Lucifer hates us? Because the son of the morning has been replaced by morning stars. That's why he hates us so much. Because that place that he occupied, God said, from the earth, from the dust, I will take and make sons who will stand in your place. Not one, two fellows, millions. Amen? Now you know why he hates you. Now you know why he wants to kill you. All right? That's why you cannot give him a place. Okay? So how do we not give him a place? You worship Jesus Christ. That's the only way you can kick the snake out. That's the only way we can crush the snake under our feet. All right? Okay, praise the Lord. So as we partake of Holy Communion, let us remember that the Ark of the Covenant is fashioned in the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Understand that? Okay? The Ark of the Covenant is fashioned in the flesh and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now it makes sense, isn't it? One day we will go through the symbolisms of the Ark of the Covenant, how it was constructed, and you will see it. All right? The Ark of the Covenant is the flesh and blood of the Lamb. The flesh becomes the flesh of your heart, the tablets of the covenant. Inside the ark, in the book of Hebrews, there are three things, right? Shall we turn to that? Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. Hebrews chapter 9, verses 3 and 4. And behind the second veil there was a tabernacle which is called the Holy of Holies, having a golden altar of incense. Gold is holiness, incense is your heart, in the fragrance of Jesus Christ, a living altar unto God. Okay? And the Ark of the Covenant covered on all sides with gold. Gold represents holiness. Okay? In which was a golden jar holding the manna. The hidden manna of the name comes from the bread of life. Okay? The bread of life that we are partaking of in Holy Communion. All right? We will do teaching on that, because there are two kinds of bread. The bread of the holy, the bread of the most holy. Okay? Aaron's rod which budded, that is the word of the oath. The word of the oath. And the tables of the covenant, the heart of flesh that God has given you. All right? And the Ark of the Covenant is ultimately the body of Christ. Right? The body of Christ lifts up the name of Jesus. Okay? From our heart. So as we remember the Lord Jesus Christ, we are celebrating an awesome prophetic reality that is to be manifested in a church triumphant, a church triumphant that is on the earth and in the heavenly places. Amen? A living and growing body of Christ, the bride of the Lamb. Amen? Praise the Lord, shall we? Father, we want to bless you and thank you, Father, that as we celebrate this Holy Communion, we are celebrating our creation in Christ Jesus, a creation fashioned in the flesh and blood of the Lamb, a creation brought forth in the flesh of His flesh and structured in the bones of His bones as one living body, the fullness of Him who will fill all in all. For He will fill all in all. But we have been given His fullness, O God, so that the fullness will always be of Him. Of His fullness we have all received, grace upon grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth were realized through Jesus Christ. And so, Father, we bless you that this realization is a living remembrance that we celebrate in this Holy Communion. That this remembrance is of the Spirit of Christ, Father. The Spirit of prophecy, Father. And so we bless you and thank you that we are able to celebrate this remembrance in the fullness of Christ Jesus, made alive into us by the Holy Spirit. This is the kind intention of your perfect will, Father. Sanctify therefore these elements of the bread and wine, that they will be to us in your Spirit, the body and blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. That as we partake, we will partake of Him, the Lord Jesus, in His flesh and in His blood, that we may receive of Him in His fullness, that we may come forth as a creation in Him, Father, a new creation, your workmanship, Father, the flesh of His flesh, the bones of His bones, a living body, the bride of the Lamb, Father. We celebrate that prophetic reality in Jesus' name. And we thank you, Father, for your great and awesome grace that you have expressed into each one of our lives. Father God, even as we remember, please enable us to remember, Father, as a living body, Father, and not as individuals, O God. Teach us your truth, and the truth will set us free. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Father, Jesus came to us as the living bread that came down out of heaven, the hidden manna of your name, expressed into us so that the revelation of your name will find meaning and expression in each one of us, Father. Not just as individuals, Father, but as a living and growing body that will express the fullness of Him who will fill all in all. As we celebrate the living bread of life, Father, we thank you for your grace and your mercy given to us in the excellence of the Lord Jesus Himself. We receive in Jesus' name. Amen. As we celebrate the blood of the Lamb, we are celebrating the testimony of Jesus, Father. That living witness of His love. That living witness that atones for us. That living witness of the blood that carries the entire new covenant, Father. Enable that covenant to come alive in us in a living relationship that is defined in blood, so that we will never forget, O God, that the price for this awesome reality was paid for us on a cross. Jesus suffered to bless us, Father. Jesus suffered to give us life, Father. Jesus suffered so that we could be blessed, O God. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Just one more passage before we end. Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. Something for us to understand very clearly. And Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. Now he was a priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, "Blessed be Abram of God Most High." Something very important. The bread and wine are expressions of the fullness of the Lord Jesus Christ that open each one of us to the Most High God. That's how high God has blessed us. That's why it is very important to function in Christ Jesus, because the bread and wine are prophetic expressions of Christ Jesus and nothing else. It's very important for us to understand that. Melchizedek was the priest of the Most High God. In Hebrews chapter 7, you will find that Melchizedek represents a body. Let me show you that. Hebrews chapter 7. Verse 11. Now if perfection, now we are talking about perfection here, okay? Perfection is an attribute of the living God. In Matthew 5:48, Jesus says, "You are to be perfect as your heavenly Father is perfect." Try achieving that. Okay? Now, if perfection was through the Levitical priesthood, for on the basis of it the people received the law, what further need was there for another priest to arise according to the order of Melchizedek and not be designated according to the order of Aaron? For when the priesthood is changed, of necessity there takes place a change of law also. What law? The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus. Can you catch that? That's the change in the law that has taken place from a law of the letter into a law that is inscribed in the person of the Word of God, brought alive by the Holy Spirit as a living expression of the perfect will of God the Father. Can you catch that? All right. Okay, verse 16. Talking about Melchizedek, who has become such not on the basis of a law of physical requirement, but according to the power of an indestructible life. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus is an indestructible reality. It is the reality of true life that comes entirely in Christ Jesus and made alive in us by the Holy Spirit. Can you catch that? Verse 22. Jesus has become the guarantee of a better covenant. Okay? A covenant that is written into your heart by the finger of God. A covenant that is fashioned in the flesh of the Lamb. Verse 28. For the law appoints men as high priests who are weak. But the word of the oath, which came after the law, appoints a son made perfect forever. Amen. Now that son has been given to you. Of his fullness we have all received. Praise the Lord. That is God's grace. Okay. So we are indeed very blessed, and we must always be grateful for the blessing. All right. Because we have been blessed infinitely greater, more than what we deserve. All right? Praise the Lord.